When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Bing bong, bing ba, bing ba, bing bong.
It's good to be back, Claire.
We're back. I'm wearing purple pants today.
Nobody cares, Claire.
I just thought I'd say it for Collings to edit out my purp sounds.
Oh,
poor Collings. He's long suffering.
Poor ponderous.
Poor Collings. Ponderous Collings. The poor person.
Very good. Very quick.
It's so slow-witted.
It's late. We've had a long day.
Oh, is it? I don't know. What time is it? Who knows? Hello, I'm Claire. James is here also. Also, I realised I haven't plugged the headphones in.
Oh, wasn't that interesting?
I plugged them into my laptop. I was trying to figure out why I couldn't hear us.
I saw you do it and I just went, I was thinking to myself, yeah, that seems right. Like I didn't even notice.
We are slowly going mad and both running at, what, 20%?
About that, yeah. That's 40% in total. And is that how percentages work? I'm not sure. But
I don't know.
We are back in lockdown at the moment, so we're doing a lot of homeschool and this and that. But we're here to suggest things. We're here to be like, hey, we've taken the time to watch or read something, and now you have to listen to us talk about it. Oh,
and also sorry,
A video just finished publishing. I was going to fix that.
I can hear it publishing in the background. For those who haven't been to this show before, welcome. Welcome to the destination. James is a YouTuber. He runs the channel Mr. Sunday Movies and likes to yell a lot into the void. No, not really. I'm just here by myself, so this is fun. Anyway.
So I thought I muted it. When I finish publishing a video, it automatically opens, and I never wanted to do that, so I don't know why I haven't changed that setting. Anyway.
Been doing that for 10 years.
Yes. What are you recommending?
Do you know, okay, just on a side note, I will sometimes, I remember this very clearly before we had kids and we lived in a tiny flat, I would often wake up in the middle of the night to hear that happen.
Yeah.
Because you'd left the laptop running to publish.
Yep.
And then because we lived in like two rooms, that was ostensibly one room with a dividing wall.
It's got to do it. It's got to do it.
It's got to do it. Anyway, my turn first, your
turn
first.
Yeah, I'd love you to do it. Let's see what you got.
All right, dude. Yeah, I got nothing.
You didn't bring anything this week?
That was my gag.
Oh.
I was doing a gag. I was doing a bit.
Oh. I would have been, that's a massive power play. I would have loved that if you were really like, I just didn't do anything. Didn't do my work.
No, that's not who I am. Deep down in my core, I'm a big old nerd.
Mm. So, I would have respected that as a teacher, but kids like, I didn't do it. And I'm like, why not? And they're just like, I just didn't. I'd be like, yeah, fair. I often do that. I just didn't do it. Anyway. Oh, yeah, don't do that if you're a student. That teacher will fucking hate that. They will.
That is exclusive
to me.
Yeah, that is exclusive to James, who is no longer a teacher for that very reason. Yeah. Because you don't care if kids don't do their homework.
I wouldn't react like that. I wouldn't be like, that's great. Because you can't.
No, but deep down in your heart, yeah, that's what you were thinking.
Pretty good.
You were like, I respect that, mate.
Yeah.
Good on you. Okay, so I want to talk about a show that we've both been watching called The White Lotus.
Oh, yes.
Do you have that on your list?
I don't actually. I was hoping you'd bring it up and then I wouldn't have to write anything down about it. What do you got?
All right, excellent. So The White Lotus is an American satire comedy drama television miniseries created, directed and written by Mike White. And it's on HBO.
Yes.
So you can get it there and it's on Binge, which is like Foxtel, I think, in Australia.
A version of.
I don't really know. But that's where you can find it currently.
Or various VPNs you can access it.
VPNs, correct. Yeah. Exactly. So it was greenlit in October 2020 and filmed in Hawaii in late 2020. So they somehow managed to do this during the pandemic times.
Well, because the entire thing is shot and set within a hotel. So it would make sense that you would be able to do that if you just locked everybody down in there.
That's so true. And it's probably actually a really smart location to do it in for that very reason. And spoiler alert, we happened to go to that hotel.
Just to clarify, this isn't a spoiler for the show at all. This is a personal anecdote.
It is. Why did I say spoiler alert?
I don't know.
My brain's like misfiring. Anyway, I just thought maybe I wanted to say personal anecdote.
Sure. Alert.
Ding ding. Ring a ding ding. Yeah, we've been there. We went to a friend's wedding because it's set at the Four Seasons.
Well, it's not set at the Four. The hotel is called the White Lotus, but it's filmed at the Four Seasons.
Correct.
And when we started it, we're like, we've been here.
Like, yeah, it looks before, so yeah. familiar. It turns out, yeah, we have.
Yeah.
Just for one night because it was a very expensive. But we stayed there for one night and it was so awesome.
It was amazing. Like, it genuinely. Yeah. I mean, it's also, like, weird because it's, like, people running around hand and foot, like, looking
yeah,
at you.
Yeah, it's, like, crazy next level Four Seasons-esque. I've never been to a hotel like that ever.
And the wedding was amazing.
Oh, I loved it. That was just so gorgeous and great. And it was right on the clifftops. Anyway, we digress.
Yeah.
The actual TV show itself is set in the hotel and it surrounds a few central characters, one of which is Armand, who's played by Murray Bartlett.
Which is a very Australian name.
Is he actually Australian?
He's Australian,
yeah. I knew he looked so familiar. He plays the manager of the White Lotus Resort, who is a recovering drug addict and who in the first episode acknowledges he's been sober for 5 years. Yeah, yes. He looks so familiar. He's got a grey moustache.
He does.
Also, one of my faves, Connie Britton, with the luxurious red hair. I love her in so many things, including Friday Night Lights. She plays Nicole Mossbacher, who is a CFO of a search engine, and sort of the central kind of story is really around her family.
Yes.
So her and her husband, Mark, and then their daughter and son, and then their son's friend.
Looks basically. Different without a mustache.
Yeah, he really does, doesn't he? And the other really awesome person who's in this is Jennifer Coolidge, who plays Tanya McCord, a troubled woman whose mother recently died. And God, that woman's comic timing is so spectacularly great. She is just excellent and awful, but excellent. There's also a married couple who are on their honeymoon, and Alexandra Daddario plays Rachel, who's a journalist and has married this guy called Shane, who's come from very wealthy money, right?
Yeah.
And very wealthy money. He's got a lot of, his family's got.
Oh my God, he's in Sex and the City. Do you remember this guy from Sex and the City?
Yes, that's why he looks so familiar.
I'm like, where have I seen this guy before? Yeah.
Yes, he's the shoe guy from Sex and the City.
So young.
Ah, oh, I remember that now. He's really, I think he's like, he's obsessed with Carrie's shoes.
You're
and
a
like,
weird shoe pervert.
And he goes clubbing or something with her. He gets her into all the fancy things.
Yeah.
And Stanford Blatch has a crush on him. Anywho, back to the White Lotus. Yeah, so Shane plays this just like horribly obnoxious, or Jake Lacey, sorry, plays Shane Patton,
plays
a real estate agent who is just horribly obnoxious and clearly one of those kind of trust fund guys that's had everything given to him on a silver spoon and is
still upset by everything.
Yeah, and it kind of starts off with him being really irritated by them getting the wrong room and there's kind of a feud that happens between Armand, the manager of the White Lotus, and him.
Yeah.
And then obviously Connie Britton's family. So it's really dark. In some ways,
it's very upsetting. It's set on like an island resort,
and
it's
beautiful. And the music is it just paces through the whole thing and gives you this sense. It's very tropical and Hawaiian, obviously,
with
these beautiful Hawaiian vocals, but also very kind of jungle-esque and upsetting.
Yeah, and it's a lot about like class divide and extreme wealth and poverty and all these kind of other things going on because it focuses on like from like the head of the hotel and the richest people to like, you know, who.
The local people, as well.
On the hotel,
and just what's happened to the local people's economy because of big resorts like that. So
and they have to come in and do local dances and
exactly. It really, so it deals with all of the things that, you know, the internet loves to talk about.
Sure.
White privilege, male privilege, gender bias, you know.
Drug addiction,
you know, the millennial, like the divide between the old and the young, different generations. Connie Britton's character is this kind of quote unquote powerful woman who's a CFO and, you know, is all for women's rights and equality and supporting other women, except her daughter actually has this whole other view of the way that her mum operates in the world, which is also a really interesting dynamic. Like her daughter is very cynical about what her mum does and thinks that she's a really unhappy, deeply unhappy person. Mm. There's that dynamic that plays out. And
it's also like the daughter is benefiting from all of these things as well at the same time.
Totally. You know? And then her husband, Mark, clearly says he's not worried.
Steve Zahn.
Yes, and he's really great too.
Yeah, he's great.
He finds out very early on in the first episode that his dad was actually gay who died, and so his dad passed away. And so he finds that out because he has a cancer scare. And then that kind of plays out and he starts to unravel sort of thinking about that and changes the way he speaks to his son. What do you think of it?
I mean, it's very depressing. Like it's not, it's just, it's very.
Why do you find it depressing?
Because it's all just like terrible people with problems that like don't matter. Like very slowly converging to a, like it's hinted at, not hinted at, it's said very early on that there's like a terrible thing is kind of going to happen and you just, but you don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And we're still, I think we're five in and we're still not there. So we don't really know. We're like, oh, this guy's going to, oh, no, it's not that. Oh, this person's going to, no, that's
yeah,
not going to
so because you find out very early, like literally in the first scene that there's someone dies basically. And so then
we're like, is it a murder? Is it an accident? Is it a suicide?
Yeah.
Like who is it in particular? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And it, you know what else? It really, the reason I find it so uncomfortable is that it makes you really examine your own privilege.
Totally.
And how, because we always have found that, and this is going to make us sound like assholes, I think. But just I've always found it really hard to relax at a resort like that.
Yeah.
Because I know how lucky we are to be there, but also all the work that everyone has had to go to for it to be there.
Yeah.
And I know it also creates jobs in the economy and all those things, but also I feel like it's kind of ruining the environment and the natural landscape and it makes
it stripping
really
away people's culture.
Sad. Yeah, exactly.
Funneling money out of like their communities to
big corporations.
Wherever,
exactly. And that whole idea of, and then it starts to address colonialism. There's some very big themes perched on the island of Hawaii.
But it's not even things that like they're, it's mentioned, but it's more like a low hum kind of background to all these other dramas that are like less important, but also
like
are going on.
Yeah, like interpersonal dramas. Yeah. Which is interesting. It's clever.
I think that's, because like it seems like a lot of the times the main people in it are not aware of these things that are
happening.
Which I think, but as a viewer, you know, you see it. And also the music tells you often.
It does. Totally. Yeah, but you're absolutely right. By showing these characters that are so unlikable, you really get a sense of, even though they aren't unaware of their own privilege, you get a sense of what's wrong with the world, basically.
Essentially.
The other interesting dynamic I think I've enjoyed watching is the dynamic between Shane, so the real estate agent from, you know, a wealthy family, and his wife. And the reason I find that really interesting, so that his wife is called Rachel and she was a journalist and not necessarily a very good journalist, but she had built her own career.
Yeah, she's like, it seems like she worked for like BuzzFeed and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. But she didn't come from money and she's worked really hard. She's incredibly beautiful looking. Mm. And she increasingly becomes
Alexandra Daddario.
Correct.
She, all right, did you say
yes,
that?
You did. Yep. She increasingly becomes aware that she doesn't actually like this person she's married.
Yeah.
You know, and because you wouldn't, because he's horribly obnoxious. And that's a really interesting dynamic because she has to make this decision about wanting to keep working and he just doesn't understand why she would even
why
want
would you?
To.
Yeah.
Why would you want to work? You've got enough money now for forever.
Yeah.
What's the point? And they examine that she's got a prenup and that actually that's where women get into hot water because they give up their career, they give up everything when they get married and then end up with no superannuation. And if the marriage breaks down, they end up with nothing and no career and no ability to be independent. And there's these kind of interesting conversations they're having over what is ostensibly just like breakfast on their honeymoon, but is actually about him encouraging her to completely do that.
Yeah.
And then when his mother comes and she's basically saying, you're a trophy wife, not in that she doesn't say that directly.
Oh, she pretty much does.
Yeah, there's like an implication that she's a trophy wife and that really her role is to just make her son happy.
She's like, why did he marry me? And she's like, you're very attractive and you seem like you make him happy. And it's like she didn't have like a good answer.
No, which kind of she's intimating that she's just sort of like easy in that she looks beautiful and she's not too clever and she's not, you know, she's going to just keep him happy and that's why they're married. And anyway, I felt like there's just so much in it that's really interesting. So anyway, but also it's awful. So
Watched, because I think we watched the first four like in a row, or maybe not in a row, but over a couple of nights. And and you know, they're an hour apiece and it just puts you in a very bad headspace.
It does. However, I also there's something beautiful about looking at the beach in Hawaii.
Yeah,
and
that
all
is,
of that. And just being escapist.
And like, I remember that wedding.
Yeah.
Remember that one night we spent.
Which was so gorgeous.
Probably dropped an insane amount of money.
Yeah, but it was and we could just like lie on the deck chairs on
we
the
didn't
beach
get none of these fancy rooms though that
No, we didn't get no fancy. So. For us, it was super fancy. Yeah. You know, when we walked in, everything, like, we arrived and they gave us hot towels and, like, gave me, like, a lotus flower or something.
I remember.
Or frangipani.
And I thought we were late for because the wedding was happening. I'm like, they're like, here's the flower thing. And I'm like, I don't want that. Like, not, I wasn't trying to remove it. I'm like, I have no purpose for this. I just want to go to my room and have a shower. Like,
yeah, I was bloody loving myself sick because they give you like a welcome drink. And I was like, a welcome drink?
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't want a drink. I want a shower.
It was uncharacteristically stressing as you always are. Anyway.
Yeah. But it they were all very nice.
They were, and it was great. And then we had cocktails in the bar. I remember those days.
Tip the staff, you know what I mean?
Correct.
Which is something that wasn't something I struggled with in America, but it was just like, oh, I have to do this thing. And I'm like,
how much do you do it?
It's like 10%, I guess, or whatever, depending on the meal. But then one time I got a sandwich and they're like, I'm like, do I tip for the guy who gives the sandwich? And they're like, no. And I'm like, but why do I not tip this guy? But I tip, but I buy a beer.
So
and
confusing.
Like, I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I don't have to do with it.
Anyway, the White Lotus, I'd recommend it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I watched a YouTube documentary on the channel Real Stories, hosted by Reggie Yates. It's a British documentary YouTube thing. It's called Britain's Toxic Body Culture, Dying for a Six-Pack, right? And it sounds like that, you know, that Britain's a lot of like trash and like, look, your body's got a hole in it and whatever. You know what I mean? There's a lot
of those ones where it's like snog, marry, avoid.
No, it's more, you know, it's like horrible body stories.
Oh,
that's
that one,
show.
Yeah. What's that? Is it called horrible
It's something like that. But anyway, it's not that. It's essentially, it talks about like the extreme pressure on males now on staying in shape, about staying in shape as opposed to what it used to be. And it's all about like dieting and workouts and surgery and like body dysmorphia and steroids and testosterone replacement and all these other things that men are now doing to kind of fit into this type of mold, which is expecting of them. You know what I mean? It's this billion-dollar industry that has kind of propped up, you know, in the last few years, because there is a lot more online stuff, you know, with trainers or like your Joe Rogans who's on all sorts of fucking HGH, and which is human growth hormone, and a bunch of other stuff going on, and how there is this kind of like the acceptable male body has kind of shifted in the way that it, like, it's all kind of always been for females. Do you know what I mean?
Ah,
yeah, the tables have turned. But it's leading to like bulimia and guys like dehydrating themselves to like look good all the time. Do you know what I mean? And taking like SARMs, which is another like it's a steroid of sorts. I'm not sure of the specifics. I'm sure people will know, but I don't need to know that. But look, it was just really fascinating, and it follows a few people in particular of how like, oh, they look at themselves in the mirror. And I'm sure I do this all the time, and you're like, yeah, I feel like I could have a better line here, do you know what I mean? Or my triceps could be bigger, or my jaw could be squarer, or whatever. Like there's one guy when he works out, he's not happy with his abdomen, so he literally wraps himself in glad wrap or cling foil, whatever people call it, and then works out in that to like –
Reduce the
which also like body. That's not even how it
works
because you can't reduce like fat from a particular, you can't target a particular part of your body. You have to lose weight in general, but that in itself can be dangerous also, because having a six pack as well, a lot of the time is unhealthy. You're literally starving because you've starved yourself to get, you know,
and
to that point.
And
dehydrated as well. Like that happens a lot when you see like guys in movies or whatever, almost always if there's a shirtless scene and they've, you know, gotten really big and ripped or whatever, it's, you know, chemically enhanced or perhaps surgically enhanced, and on top of like extreme diets and people cooking all the food for them, it's literally their job just to get in shape for this one shirtless scene and whatever, you know what I mean? And people think that that's like attainable all year round, and it even looks at like a lot of influencers online who are like, do this one trick and you can do whatever, but they're all like on gear. Like they're all these, you know, Instagram influencers or whatever, they're just on gear, you know, which is fine if you want to do that, it's whatever, but Like you can technically do it safely, but a lot of time it's not. You know, you meet a guy at the gym and they're like, "Do you want to try this or whatever?" And it's dangerous.
Dangerous.
And it's also, it messes up your hormone balance, and your libido might completely decrease.
Fertility.
You know what I mean? All of these different things, and you can have long term effects on your body, like your body's well being,
and your mental well being.
Yeah. So. It was interesting. It was really interesting to kind of look at something like that and to see the way that it's even changed
in the last five years.
Well, it's been slowly happening for longer than that, but getting in shape is the way that people, think a person should look is not feasible a lot of the time or healthy.
You know what I was thinking while you were talking about that?
Mm.
What is so interesting to me, and obviously, eating disorders and body dysmorphia, which is when you see your body differently from how it actually is, and all those things. And I still think disproportionately affects women because of the fact that we live in a patriarchal society, which means that men are still mostly in charge of most things.
Yeah.
And so for a lot of the time that can mean that women are supposed to be seen through that male gaze of a particular body. However, it was interesting as you were talking because I realized I've let so much of that go. And I'm not saying that I don't still worry about my body. And maybe if I was single or something, it would be different.
Sure, yeah.
But I like to think maybe not as much as I think, because it has taken me so long and so many years to get to a point where I can value my body for what it can do rather than what it looks like.
Absolutely, yeah.
And
because you're very fit as well. Like you can run for.
Oh, look, I don't know. Look, yes, I am. I'm very fit.
And you're excellent capacity.
Not compared to a lot of people, but particularly.
I think if you looked at generally, you'd be fitter than.
Oh, look, I think I've got a lot.
It's not a competition. It's not what
anyway,
I'm
but
about.
That yeah, no, yeah. But it's not. That's not even what I'm trying to say. Okay, what am I trying to get at? I think that women have had to cope with this bullshit of body image and looking at unattainable bodies and examining our bodies in minute detail and hating every part of our body for such a long time that I think we are now coming to a point of body positivity where the media and the culture that we're consuming as women is so much more affirming. And I don't know if you've noticed, but when you walk past a Bras and Things ad in the shopping center, there'll be women with rolls and there'll be women with bodies that are recovering from C-sections or women who are a size 16, which is the actual average size of a woman in Australia.
Yeah.
We're just coming out of all of that. Mm. And because of so many years, we've had to develop all of these coping mechanisms to cope with the onslaught of ridiculous bodies of women that we see on media, in magazines, in TV shows. We've seen that stuff. We've been absorbing it in the cartoons we watched as kids since we were babies.
Well, that's true, yeah.
And so women, I think, have had to do all of this inner work and reading and talking and reflecting and looking for so long to prevent ourselves from going down some really dangerous roads. And it doesn't work for everybody. And depending on where you are at, I mean, eating disorders and all of those things are so huge. But I do think there's so much help out there for women as well with that kind of stuff because of just the amount of toxic shit we've had to cope with for so long.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we've solved it, but it just strikes me that I think all of that stuff for men may be less down the road. Does that make sense? That there's less infrastructure around all of that body shaming stuff for men.
I think a lot of the differences as well for men, it's often for gym guys, the really intense guys, it's guys judging other guys and complimenting other guys. Yeah. And not that women.
I don't think women get I don't know
not
about,
in the same
I can't
way.
Speak for all women, but I know that watching a scene where a guy has his shirt off and he's got a six pack and he's ginormous.
Yeah.
I'm not into that. I'm just not into that. I just think. Because I know, I think maybe because I know how much work had to go into it, it doesn't look, to me, it's not attractive.
Yeah.
In the same way,
So have you ever lived with somebody who's trying to do that or done it yourself?
That's what I mean.
It's miserable.
And then they just fart and smell eggs all the time.
Yeah. Do it about me in particular. But,
no, I just mean, and I'm not saying looking after your body, I'm not saying
that's not what I'm saying, I think there's so many other layers of it. Fitness is great. It's really good.
That's what I mean. What your body can
when
do.
When I think about the people who, when I feel I'm, looking well or whatever, it's often men who will compliment me, be like, oh, you're looking fit or whatever. Like, I don't get women being like, you look great. You look like you're really working out at the gym or whatever. It just literally never happens.
I noticed that when Broden came over.
Yeah, Broden did say that to you. Broden said that to
you. And I can tell you were both like, we're guys that work out. I respect that. Because that's the thing. And actually, for women,
it's fucking hard. Man.
It is. Yeah. And women
even
do
to
that.
Look like this, it's like,
it's hard.
It's difficult. Yeah.
You look great. But it is really hard. Mm. And I think that's the thing. Women do compliment other women. We often dress for other women.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I don't know if guys often, and this is such a generalization, but often notice what we're wearing comparatively to how in detail my friends will notice.
I would say that is on the whole true. But,
yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I think women compliment other women. Mm. It would be weird if women came up to you just going, oh, looking good, James.
That would be very weird.
Like they might notice, but they won't.
Well, you know what? If you're out there and you notice, you see me, just tell me what you think. Even if it's bad, just be like, nah, no good, actually.
You put a lot of effort in.
You look like shit.
I just think that there is a difference between, and I think it's like with all things, right? There isn't anything wrong with looking after your body and becoming fit and
really
strong.
Good, yeah.
And it's important to put the right foods in there and all that stuff. But when it becomes an obsession and it's all you can think about and you just constantly scrutinize yourself in the mirror, it becomes dangerous.
Mm.
And I think I've had to let, because I've had two kids as well, my body is just not going to be the same as it was. And it's been through a lot.
Yeah.
I can't take on that ridiculous minute detail of scrutiny that I used to when I was in my 20s.
Like,
and I remember I was talking to my sister about this, looking back at photos of myself where I knew I was huge. I thought in my head, oh, no, you're so unappealing and you look terrible in this outfit and you need to lose 10 kilos and all this stuff. And I look back at that photo and I think, bloody hell, you were a bit of all right there. You look lovely. What were you even worried about?
Yeah.
And I think that now about myself, it's not.
Imagine how bad you're going to look in another 20 years.
I know, exactly. No, but I just think we walk around with these sort of cloudy ideas of what we look like, and it's only when we look back in hindsight and we go, actually, you were beautiful, and what are we so obsessed over?
Do you ever look back and go, ugh?
Oh, look, yeah, there are plenty of photos of me, particularly in the early 2000s where I had like a really short haircut and it just. Some people look great with short hair. I looked ridiculous. I had a fringe that started from the middle of my head.
Yeah. You look like you had half a coconut.
Yeah, and then I had a Beatles hair cover. I had a lot of terrible haircuts. I don't even know what I'm trying to say here. Just that I think with all of this stuff, everything in moderation, and if you're finding that you're becoming so obsessed with that, it's so dangerous. It's so easy to fall into that. And I think – like with any addiction, food addiction, sex addiction, whatever, you know, alcohol, drugs, it's another form of numbing an addiction to get obsessed with your body in that way.
But one thing, if you do it properly and you're eating well and exercising, it's actually good. You feel good and you also, you know, you look good. You might not look like Chris Hemsworth or whatever, who's definitely on the gear. But you know what I mean? It's good. You know, you're strong and you can run and whatever, you know what I mean?
And you live longer for your kids.
Yeah, you live longer.
All of that stuff. No, and I think that's great. I think that's a really good thing. Mm. Anyway.
You know, so I've got this T-shirt. It's a fitness T-shirt. It's got Arnold Schwarzenegger on it.
I noticed.
And our son to me goes, who's that guy? And I'm like, oh, he's an old, like an old movie star. He's been a bunch of stuff. He's a bit older now. And he goes, oh. And he goes, what did he do? And I'm like, oh, he was like a muscle man kind of thing. And he goes, you've got bigger muscles than him. And I'm like, I absolutely do that. I appreciate the compliment, but you don't know what you're talking about. Thank you.
That is really funny, isn't it? He's quite obsessed with muscles at the moment. And my muscles too. I'm like, look at my muscles.
Yeah.
But I don't want him to just think manhood is about being
strong. No, we're trying to probably pushing him too much, but we're trying to he's doing fitness stuff at the moment. You know, he's doing basketball and we're talking about practicing and all these kinds of things and he's working on getting active.
Anyway, all right, let's move along. I've got another recommendation.
Let's do it. Do we have time, Claire?
Ooh, it's already 28 minutes. Maybe not. Maybe I'll see.
Okay. Is it a long one or a short one?
No, it's a short one. I'll sneak it in.
Okay.
I'll sneak it in. This one is a board game called Codenames.
Codenames. Oh, yes.
Yes. It's so fun. We played it when we went away with some families that are our friends and are awesome. And I think I'm really into looking at board games at the moment, particularly in the whole pandemic time.
It's true.
So this one is really fun and it's kind of a word puzzle game and you have to divide into two teams, red and blue, and each team has a leader. And it's about kind of sort of hard to explain.
Mm.
You get a series of words and
on a board.
On a board. And so there'll be like a person who's red and a person who's blue, and the rest of the team doesn't know which words are the red words, and the blue team doesn't know which words are the blue words.
Yep.
And you kind of have to give one word as a clue and get your team to figure out which word you're talking about.
Yeah, so you could say, like, if it's bird, you could say flying, and then they'll go, oh, he must be talking about bird. But if there's another word on there that is plane, and it's like, well, I can't say flying because they'll think plane.
Yeah, and there's like words in there that if your team guesses incorrectly, the other team wins, all that kind of stuff. And also you can say one word to guess three different words. For example, if the word was bird, you might have flying, branch, kites, nest or something.
So there's
like, and you can get really meta with it.
Yeah.
It's really interesting how people's brains work, and I really, really enjoyed it. So
it's a great game. It's really it's difficult as well, especially if you get like a bad hand.
Yeah. It's really hard. I know, and it's and you don't want to let the team down, and but it's a really fun one to do with a big group or a small group.
Yeah, you probably need probably at least four.
Yeah,
to do it.
Yeah, and you can also play it on Zoom. We've been doing some Zoom sessions with that, which has also been really fun too. All right,
good stuff. I could probably squeeze in a quick one if you want.
Yes,
as well.
Squeeze it
in. I finished up, and to much popular demand, people want to know about this, I'm sure. The Love is Blind reunion special, which is the only reality show that I've watched in the past 2 years. I think other than Love on the Spectrum, which is like a legitimately good one.
So
for those people who don't know, it was a 10-episode or 11-episode, I think it was 10-episode Netflix series where they split up, the men and the women, and they went into a house and they'd go into pods and they talked to each other through a wall. They couldn't see each other. That's why it was called Love in Blind.
Listeners, you can't see James' expression.
And then they had to decide. We've already talked about it in the show.
We have.
They had to decide whether they would get married without seeing each other. And the ones who decided, then they would come out of the pods and then they'd kind of go and they'd go all the way up to when they'd get married and they'd all get dressed up and they'd stand on the altar with all their families and then they'd decide on the spot whether or not they were going to marry the other person or break their heart. It was fucking hilarious. Anyway,
it
was tragic, some of it was funny, some of them it's just like, why are you doing this? This is a terrible idea. You should.
Started watching it and you were like, why am I watching this? And you watched the whole
thing. I watched the whole thing. Anyway, so I didn't realize there was a reunion special. So this one, you're catching up with a couple, some you love, some you don't love, some you know, some are together and you're just like, what is this? Why are you guys still together? It's been 2 years, you clearly hate each other. What the fuck is going on? Some of them who like are now single, you kind of see how they're going, and some are like doing better than others and still kind of out there and putting themselves out there and whatever. And there's one couple in particular that's just like, what is this? And this guy's an absolute buffoon. And the woman that he's dating is also like, she's a real like firecracker as well. And they clearly just don't mesh. They've got this real like love-hate kind of situation. He's kind of a dope and she's like really fiery. And one of the first things he says was like, yeah, so I've been, you know, really looking after myself now. Now I like take care of my hygiene. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? He's like 32 years old. And then he's going through like his skincare regime or whatever. And he brings like a different woman to the reunion party as opposed to the woman that he was dating. And then so there's this big blowout. And the woman he brought is like, why would you bring me to this? What is wrong with you? He's like, I thought we were friends or whatever. And she's like, what? No, why do you think I'm here? And it was really funny. And I'm like, I want to see this guy again every day for the rest of my life. It's hilarious. He just looks like he looks like an anvil, just kind of walking around like, why doesn't she like me? Because you're stupid. You do stupid things.
That's so
you're
mean.
A stupid person.
That's so mean.
Yeah.
Does it bother you that they like choose people and play on their mental health?
There's a couple of couples, like one in particular who's like, these guys legitimately seem like they like each other, which is nice, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And every other person who's in the game show is just like staring at them just like these fucking people.
Like they like each other and then look happy.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But they look like legitimately happy. Like it's really, it's quite nice.
See,
so there's one out of like 40, however many were in it. Yeah.
Wow. All right. But you recommended it?
No, don't watch it.
Do you know what I realized? This is unsurprisingly what I love about reality TV, because I don't watch a lot of it at all. I don't really get it.
Mm.
when I do like it, it's because it's hopeful and inspiring.
There's a little, yeah. Well, there's a little bit of that in it. Speed Cubers. I watched that. I was actually talking about that today.
Yeah,
with a friend
you were.
As well.
That's cool. Apparently, there's one on glass blowing that's really.
Oh, really?
Amazing.
Oh, glass blowing is amazing.
Yeah,
and we saw glass blowing in Venice.
We
somewhere.
Did, and they like blew horses and all kinds of stuff. you have
those
your work
Italians.
Cut out for you.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, they're you know Italian stallions.
Big breath. You know yeah. what I mean.
Anyway, apparently there's like, I think it might be on Netflix. And I've been meaning to watch it.
Okay,
it's a glass blowing reality TV show. And apparently, who was I talking to? Oh, I'm on a podcast with Maria Angelico. She was telling me she got really into it. She was like, finally, they get recognition. They've been working on their glass blowing for like 20 years.
Yeah, no, we saw this dude, like, I still remember it. He fashioned like a glass horse, like in front of us.
Yeah.
In like a minute. I was like, what the hell?
It was
amazing.
It was so amazing. And that kind of stuff was what I love. That's why I used to love MasterChef for the same reason or like Australian Idol. It's when I like or even I really love Dancing with the Stars for the same reason because Dancing with the Stars, they work bloody 8 hours a day
That's
and they
true.
Get really good.
That what I don't like that is about like that pirouette was shit. And I'm like, you're fucking shit. You know how hard that is? I mean, yeah. I don't know how hard it is, but yeah. it seems really hard.
I always love it when the footballers are like, oh, mate, you stood on the right foot this time
yeah.
and they're like stomping around.
And they've got
their
shoes on
out.
The wrong feet.
Yeah.
Just like, gah.
And they put their arm out in this really funny, awkward way.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love that show because because you can see a trajectory of people really
yeah.
improving and getting better. That's what I love. I don't like the taking down of stuff.
It's interesting seeing people who like aren't dancers who like take to it naturally. I'm trying to think of an example of that. Well, not even naturally, they work really hard.
Silly Piccola,
yeah.
correct, exactly.
Hers was really interesting.
Yeah, she won and she was bloody amazing.
Yeah.
Like that whole thing. And because they did it during the beginning of the pandemic, so back last year. Yeah, so it started with audiences and then they eventually lost their audiences. And it was – but she worked so hard.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah.
That's what I love when you see someone that – and someone else who – Kate Sobrano.
Oh, yeah.
Was really amazing too. And
you met her.
Yeah, I did meet her.
Yeah.
Yeah, at Parliament
She's
House.
She's a Scientologist.
Is she?
Yeah.
No, I follow
yes.
her on Instagram. She seems really great. Her daughter seems really cool.
I hope that's true.
Oh, is
can
that
be
true?
Too thick. She is a Scientologist.
I really,
do you remember?
She paints guitars and they're amazing. Anyway.
She should play guitar. She's doing it wrong.
She does both.
But, oh, good. Do you remember when we went to Venice at that particular spot,
yes.
2008?
Yes.
And there was this amazing Venetian glass jewelry store. And I snuck in there. I snuck in and I bought you a bracelet, Venetian glass, and then I hid it in my backpack and we carried it all around Europe and then back to London. I lived there and just before you went home, I gave it to you and you're like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And then you lost it. I mean, you left it at a bar. Anyway, I'm just asking, do you remember that?
I knew exactly what you were going to say. As soon as you bought the Venetian glass, I got this like stabbing anxiety because I still remember it and I loved it so much.
It was good.
Beautiful round.
The guy helped me like distract you while I like picked it out or whatever. Yeah.
James.
And it was probably €80, which was a lot then and now.
A lot of money. Oh, my God. I just am the worst with stuff like that. I just lose things so easily.
I don't know why you took it off.
I don't. I think
or did
it
you? It must have fallen off.
I think
you sold me a piece of crap.
No. I loved it so much. I'm really horrible.
Wasn't meant to be. Wasn't meant to be.
I loved it. So, I love you.
Well.
I kept you.
That's true. You had to leave something at a bar. Anyways, we should wrap it up.
All right.
You can review the show. It helps us out massively if you could or give us a review in-app. 5 stars is our preference, but that's obviously up to you. This is from JDD7219 who says, legends, you will have listened to them so often that you'll eventually find yourself furious that you cannot just text one of them to say thanks for the suggestion or to furiously disagree with them. I love them both dearly. Thank you, JDD7219.
Oh, thanks, mate. That's so lovely. Mm. And you can also email us with some suggestions just like the wonderful Eric from Nottingham has.
Oh, my God.
Nottingham.
Eric of Nottingham.
Eric, I know it sounds like you're dressed in a little Robin Hood outfit. That's the only thing I know about Nottingham.
It's true.
I
know
love
Eric.
That Disney cartoon with the fox dressed as.
Don't even start with that shit, please. I don't know if you know about this.
I know. You know how I know because people keep tweeting at me about
this.
The fox dressed
as
Maid Marian.
It's because Mason is in love with the fox. from
she's very beautiful. She has lovely eyes.
I wouldn't know. I don't. I honestly can't see it. It makes no.
Well, apparently you're into her, and if she was real, I would be in trouble.
Can I just quickly show you something? This is something that came up in the Reddit. Oh, there's a clip from Hey Hey It's Saturday. Yep, that's up there. Mason and I also talk a lot about Hey Hey It's Saturday. I don't know if you know.
I've seen that one where it's the guy like looking back or something at Maid Marian.
Is it this one?
I haven't seen that one.
So for those who don't know, it's me and Maid Marian. This is Jordan MS Paint, and we're not in the same location, but we're looking up at the stars, crying. And Maid Marian is saying, "Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars?" And then I'm saying, "I can really use a wish right now," which is that Rihanna song. It's so weird and niche. I just think that's really funny, and also more of a reflection of the way that Mason feels about Maid Marian.
Is that actually real?
What?
Does he really have a crush on Maid
Marian? That's
true. Oh, yeah, fair enough. And I have a bit of a crush on the fox.
Perfect. You guys, you should talk about it all the time. But not,
he's foxy.
And they're also, I'm dreading it because they're remaking it, but with like you know, the way they did like Zootopia.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, I don't want this fucking movie to come out. I was like, no, just the amount of people who are going to send me shit is just like.
And they can't remake that because it's just a classic.
Anyway, you know what? Like amazing as a movie either. Like, it's okay.
It is. I love it. I love it. I totally disagree. It's such a good weird movie.
Disney era where they didn't really know what they were doing.
No, it's so good. There's a lot of ones that aren't so great, but that one, it's a classic. Okay. The songs are so great. The vibe of it is so good. There's so many great jokes in there. The little rabbits are so cute with the little turtles.
Mm. And the little coins.
The little coins and like the funny like lion prince guy and the snake. It's just great.
The definitive version of Robin Hood is Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves with Kevin Costner.
All right, everybody knows that. Poor Eric from Nottingham. We have hijacked his email. We haven't started reading his email yet.
What do we got?
For Eric from Nottingham. Hi, Claire and her husband, man.
That's me.
I was listening to your soon-to-be-more-successful podcast, Taunts, and in the episode with Jess Perkins, you spoke about gender-swapping characters in children's books.
It's true.
I wanted to let you know about A Mighty Girl, amightygirl.com. So there's a website there.
Okay.
It's a website that chronicles books, TV, movies with female protagonists. The description in the book section reads, "A Mighty Girl's book section features over 4,000 girl-empowering books starring stellar Mighty Girl characters. So it seems like a great starting point for parents looking for female role models for their children, whatever gender they are."
Very good.
Also, a book recommendation of my own, Invisible Woman, Exposing Gender Bias in a World Designed for Men by Caroline Criado-Perez. It's a book that analyzes and breaks down the gender gap in data collection and design of all areas of design, healthcare and culture, and I found it fascinating and infuriating. Oh, man. Right. When you start examining this stuff, it's insane. Like hair, air conditioners, that's why women are constantly cold because it's the design
of men.
Correct. Anyway, as a bloke, I'm not aware in my everyday life of the little ways the world is designed to benefit me and make things harder for women. And as an architectural designer myself, it's extremely important that I'm aware of how and when I'm excluding 50% of the planet in my work. Eric, you are a legend.
Eric knows what he's doing.
He does. Highly, highly recommend for any designers, particularly men in my opinion. Sorry for the long email. Thanks for the great content. Eric.
Very good.
I know. I totally think that is fantastic, Eric. Thank you so much because absolutely right that there's so much in design that it's been designed with like a standard 6-foot man in mind. Even cities, when you start to look at it, are designed around sort of for men.
What about pockets?
Well, exactly, James. Like my sister and I were talking about this the other day. Men's clothing in general is cheaper and really well made. It's warmer. There's like 1,000 different hidden pockets everywhere. It's really functional and the fabrics are always better. And with women's clothing, you wash them twice, they like fall to pieces and there's usually way less function and way less pockets. And if you look at the difference in even kids' clothing between boys and girls, the clothing for boys is a better quality.
I think also a lot of time the girls' clothes is like, they're like lighter and brighter colours, so they show up dirt easier as well.
Yeah, but it's also the fabrics too often less quality because they've got like frou-frou bits and things. And there's nothing wrong with
having a bunch of clothes for our daughter that's like white and I'm like, why the fuck would I put her in this?
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. And look, and I'm not saying you shouldn't have beautiful clothes. And
I'm saying you should put every kid in a potato sack.
Anyway, I just think that whole idea of looking at why the world is designed for men and how we can better design buildings and infrastructure that takes everyone into account.
Including
people with disabilities as well. That's a massive thing with accessibility.
So. You know what I've also, like, you notice pushing a pram how many places are not accessible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a ramp, you're like, oh, thank God. And a lot of in Australia, like, they have to have ramps. It's, like, mandated.
Yeah, but I just even noticed there's so many small shops where we can't wheel the pram around and there's massive stairs. Yeah. And it just always makes me think about people in wheelchairs who are trying to access. You would just have to avoid shops.
Yeah, you just couldn't, yeah.
And I just, yeah, and I mean, obviously I can't empathise in that way. Like, I couldn't, I have no idea what it would feel like. But in a small way I can see just how ridiculously inaccessible so many things are in our world and way of being. Anywho.
I like to think this podcast is inaccessible. You know what I mean? You turn it on and you're like, what is this? What is happening here?
It is a strange place.
Why is a guy who's not on the show in love with Maid Marian? It's a great question. You're going to have to message him at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
And now everyone's going to think I'm a terrible wife because I lost that beautiful bracelet.
Who cares? How many terrible things have I done? I gave our son expired cough syrup this very evening.
Yeah, you did.
So it's fine.
I think
fine.
He's okay.
And not just
check.
Like a little bit expired, like a lot.
By like years. And I tried really hard not to be mad, but I was really mad.
Yeah, but also, it's like cough syrup. Who gives a shit? If it was like rat poison.
No, don't say that on a podcast. Check all the expiry dates of all the things. You looked at the poisons website.
I looked at the poisons website and they said, what have you done? What have you done?
They did. Yeah. James, it said on the website.
It knew.
It did. Okay, we've really run over. Thank you so much to Collings for editing this episode. We've been Suggestible Podcast. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I mean, if you want, it's up to you.